You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the El Arpa Podcast. Heyo! Welcome back to the latest installment of the weekly El Arpa Podcast. Joining me in studio is Maria. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Pleases me no end. Of course, is Enda also speaking, the other half of El Arpa. So today we have a little bit of a different podcast to give to you. We will of course be with you for the introduction and the conclusion, but in the middle section, what are we doing for the main body of the podcast?
We have a bit of an interview.
We do. Yes, we do. We managed to scoop an interview with one of the world's most famous poets. Well, famous in poet circles, that is. Mr. Zohab Khan, Australian-Pakistani guy, who was kind enough to give some of his time to me, at least. I was there interviewing him in Town Centre just a week gone by. And he's giving us the insight of his knowledge. He's a poetry slam guy. He goes around the world giving talks and motivational speeches in schools and to other people. And he's a very charming, very interesting guy. He has a lot of stuff to say. And you can hear that in just a moment. But we've been quite busy with El Arpa things. We've been looking at quite expensive 3D cameras we're going to purchase in the next few weeks for... Well, what are we going to do with those magical things?
Well, just wait and see. Some exciting videos.
Some not so exciting videos.
No, that'll be exciting.
Also, we're working, well, you have been working on two projects that we'll briefly mention here. Phrasal verbs and songs. Well, one project. Phrasal verbs in songs, but there are two elements. So what can you say about that?
Yeah, well, we don't really want to give it away, but basically... Main thing that our students have problems with are phrasal verbs, or one of the main things that Spanish people struggle with, so which is sort of creating a resource to help them remember phrasal verbs through songs that are familiar to them.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. So I'm looking forward to doing that. We'll be making videos as well, I think, with the phrasal verbs, and we'll be trying to think of ways to teach them in exciting and dynamic ways, not just explain
as
them.
Always.
Well, you know, a lot of teaching videos on YouTube are just people in front of boards.
No, I mean, as always for us.
Yeah, I know.
But we're entertaining.
We are, in our own minds at least. Well, we're going to end the first part of the show. And I'm going to come back. My voice, Mary, wasn't there for the interview, though she was there in spirit. Okay, so for now, enjoy the interview. Poetry slammer, is it fair to categorize you solely as a poetry slammer, or do you think that you've other elements to your game as well?
I'm gonna sound like I'll get a little bit closer to your lovely microphone. I'm gonna sound like an absolute wank of an artist, but I'm an artist, you know. I think we're all artists, we're all poets. I'm not necessarily just a poetry slammer. Poetry slam is just the competitive aspect of what I do. But I just like putting more than one word together. You know what I mean? I like to put different words together that aren't designed to be together.
Okay.
And that's what I do. I tell stories. I shed light. I plant seeds. I'm not necessarily just a poetry slammer. Far from.
Okay. So how did you start your journey as an artist?
How did I start my journey as an artist? I think I've always had this artistic flair inside of me. When I was a kid, I was always putting on theater performances for my parents, which they never thought was going to become my profession. But there was always in me. I loved hip hop from a very young age.
Okay.
Hip hop was. I grew up in a rural area.
Yeah.
Which a predominantly Anglo-Australian area.
Okay.
And the marginalization and the racism that I faced, I really associated with with hip-hop. Hip-hop was my outlet.
Okay, yeah.
So I would read hip-hop lyrics, and from reading hip-hop lyrics, I'm like, man, that was my poetry, you know what I mean?
And you identify with it.
Absolutely, I identify with, you know, the hip-hop elements, and to have a marginalized culture, that really, really spoke to me. So that just evolved eventually into Poetry Slam. I found out about this thing called the Australian Poetry Slam.
Okay.
Started entering that. It took me about 5 years, but I eventually won that. That was one of my major life goals. And when I won that competition, things have just really, really taken off from there, you know?
And when did you know that you were... well, this is a two-part question. One, you're obviously very good at what you do.
Thank
when
you.
Was that moment where you realized I can do this? And second of all, did you have a separate moment, or was it in the same moment where you felt maybe I can be the voice of a community or a people? Because, you know, at least at the start, maybe, or and even now, you could say, would you say that you're maybe speaking for the marginalized, or you're speaking about something maybe that's bigger than people? It's these kind of high ideas, you know?
I could be cliche and say I'm the voice of the voiceless, but I wouldn't, I wouldn't say that.
It's too late, it's going in.
I don't think there was a moment where I said, oh man, I'm really good at this. You know, I'm quite a confident man. I think confidence is paramount if you want to achieve anything, really. I've always had a lot of self-belief in myself, even when I haven't, you know. I don't think there was an actual moment. There's plenty of moments where I was like, man, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah.
But I'd always bounce back. I would always bounce back. I was, nah, I gotta do this. You know what I mean? I'm not sure when I became the voice of my community or the marginalized or whatever that may be. I'm not even sure if I am.
Okay.
But I definitely have the privilege of being able to speak about my own community, which is the Muslim community back home in Australia, which to a degree is marginalized at the moment. But I think... how much we're getting pushed back.
Yeah.
How much we're being held back in Australia, we're fighting back tenfold, you know what I mean? In the most positive way that I can say that we're doing that. Yeah. So definitely there's something positive. And now we've got coffees, so
you know, okay, hello.
Yeah, my friend.
That's yours before I forget.
Gracias. Okay, thanks,
John. Is it gracias or gracias? Which one?
That's first one, the first one.
Gracias.
Yes.
But what, where's the...
Okay, the thing is, because one of them got, one of them should have ice, and the other one is yours.
No, none have ice. Or maybe it's melted. Nah, that
it's
one's.
It's this one because it's
higher.
Yeah. No. So,
is this boiling water?
That is boiling water.
There you go. Thank you.
Ah, okay.
No, I'm not pulling your leg.
But
that's a sugary one.
Okay, so that's a very interesting answer. And also as well, you mentioned that seeing a marginalized community in Australia kind of maybe pushed you in this direction. Are there other elements of Australian culture that maybe helped you along that path as well? Because Australia is primarily a country that's inhabited by people who are maybe sent there, and from out, you know, people who are originally outsiders as well, from Ireland, from Britain, from other cultures. Was that did that or any other factor about Australian life maybe influence your art or your perspective?
I'm a fourth generation Australian Pakistani, right? So my great grandfather came to Australia in early 1900s, so 1901, and that was always a big part of my identity.
Yeah,
I always had this superiority complex that, you know what, I'm fourth generation. I'm a little bit better than the first generation migrants. And, and that's a real messed up ideal. Well, I'm going to say fucked up. You can edit whatever you need to edit. That's a real fucked up way to think, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what they want. They want this racial hierarchy. They want this, by they, I mean those, you know, those people that run the world. That's it. But that's what they want. They want you to get a racial hierarchy. They want you to believe that you're better than other people. Mm. And it wasn't until I shed that away that I realized, what was the question?
That if the other elements of Australian international
elements.
Community
Absolutely.
Maybe has influenced you.
It wasn't until I realized that, you know what, that we do have this sense of equality, that we are equal, but there's so much disparity between us.
Okay.
It wasn't until I realized that and started exploring those aspects did I really, really find my voice as a poet.
Okay.
That's really what inspires my art.
Okay, it's a fantastic answer. Like being Irish as well, and what you mentioned about, you know, Muslim communities being pushed back. You know, I mean, you look at what's happening in Britain with kind of characterization of Muslims and tabloid newspapers.
Yeah.
It's just what happened to Irish people in the 80s, for example, with the IRA.
I was reading this journal article.
Yeah.
And it was from about 100 years ago, and they've got illustrations of the white man, the Anglo man, which is like a proper. With a nice pointy nose, and then mind my French, but that's the word they used. And then it had the Negro, and it had like someone like looked like a monkey,
of course,
perfectly honest. That's what they made it look like.
Yeah.
And then an Irishman was somewhere in between that.
Yeah,
had like a tiny point to their nose, but still looked like an animal, for God's sake.
Yeah. Before the Irish came to America, every white person had the vote. But then when Irish people came, they changed that to, like, I don't know, white Protestant or Wasp, for example.
Because the Irish weren't considered white for a long time.
And which kind of links in as well to what you're saying about, you know, there's a kind of a racial hierarchy, you know, and even 19th century and some parts of the 20th century as well, this was in evidence in America. Does it ever depress you? Or do you ever have low moments where you think, you know, okay, we have this post-Islam movement where, you know, we have these ideals and they're fantastic because I shared them as well, but, you know, the bastards keep coming back, you know? They're zombies.
Look, I would be lying if I said that there wasn't moments where I said, man, it's too big, that you just can't fight it.
Yeah.
But those days are important because you remember how important it is to fight against that, because that's no way to live.
Okay.
There's no way to live to say that, you know what, there's this 1% or there's this hierarchy within our society that controls a majority of the ongoings in the world. That's not how I want to live.
Okay.
That's how I want my great-grandchildren to live. That's not how I want my great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren to live.
Okay.
That's how I think. I think about my lineage, you know what I mean? Because if I'm thinking about my lineage, My great 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 grandson and my great 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 granddaughter will not know each other.
Yeah.
But they will still be from me, right? So essentially, you're my brother. You're my brother. They're my sister. We are great 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 grandchildren of somebody.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I think if we start changing our mentality and we start realizing that no, you're not from Ireland. I am not from Australia or Pakistan or Spain or whatever. We are essentially, we share the same DNA. We share the same things on the inside.
Yeah.
And the things that make us different is just social constructs. So, I waffle sometimes.
No, that was really good. But because I might, you know, I mean, we're all, I think, left thinkers here, no? Or like believe in the left more or less. And that's traditionally been maybe something that's a very international kind of belief system, no? And the post-Islam movement is international. You brought it to Pakistan recently, for example.
Yep.
Do you see the same people, or do you see people in different countries talking about the same things? That they have the same type of profile, the post-Islams, or?
I think if you write poetry, there is this left leaning that you do have, but it's not necessarily always true, you know.
Yeah.
Some people are just writing poetry for the sake of writing poetry. It's not political at all, you know. Especially when I did I recently launched the Pakistan Poetry Slam with my co-founder Zainab Sayed, and what I found anyway, they weren't necessarily talking about political issues. They were talking about social issues. They were talking about how in Pakistan there's this hierarchy with skin, with skin tone. If you're a lighter skin toned, you're a little bit better, and you've got to buy that fairness cream to be a little bit lighter. Or there was a lot about misogyny. There was a lot about, so I think there's all these constructs within our society that need deconstructing.
Okay.
And I think Poetry Slam, and I think poetry in general is a perfect means of doing that.
Okay.
It's giving voice to the voiceless, to use that cliche again.
Okay, and I can ask you about which is a very airy fairy question, but like you travel a lot, you meet a lot of people. You know, do you see your art as something around which people can kind of come together, or how do you see people coming together? You know, sharing ideas or sharing activities, you know, how much do you facilitate that, or how much are you brought along by other people who are doing that, you know?
Yeah.
How do they feed into each other, if that's not a very worded question?
When I'm on stage, it's not necessarily, at certain times in my life, it may have been about my ego.
Yeah.
Now it's no longer about that. Now it's about planting seeds.
Okay.
Now it's about any piece of knowledge that I may have gained and been privileged enough to gain as a result of my life experiences and the, you know, 28 years that I've been on this earth, it's about sharing that. It's about giving my perspective. It's about planting those little seeds into people's brains that they didn't even know existed, and hopefully something positive would grow out of that.
And have people approached you after shows or even on the street randomly and say, hey, I've seen your stuff and it really moved me and made me feel better, or inspiring me to write myself, or
I don't know how it happens, but I'm so fortunate that happens quite regularly, that someone will always send me a message, whether that be an email or a Facebook or something like that. And just the other week when I was in London, about a week before that, I received this beautiful message from this lady who saw me perform in Australia a couple of months ago, and she just out of the blue sent me a message. And I'm standing waiting in line to a restaurant in London, the hipstery wankery place in London, and you know a restaurant's good when you have to line up for half an hour. And I feel this tap on my shoulder, and it's her.
Okay.
You know, and and we didn't know we were both in London. We had no idea, you know. And that was a nice little moment. Yeah. That I was like, oh, thank you very much for that message. I'm sorry that I didn't reply. She's like, that's okay. But I'm really, really fortunate that I get a lot of messages. And a lot of my work that I do is in high schools.
Okay.
So I'll do like 1 hour talks in high schools and share my experiences about bullying, share my experiences about racism, and just try to give my insight on how we can change that. And I genuinely, honestly like to believe that I know I make a difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fantastic. And my final question really is just, it's a two-part one. You know, if people wanted to follow in your footsteps, how can they do it? And secondly, how can people meet other people who share the same vision and the same goals that passions that they do? You know, because you found people like Jonathan, for example, who are maybe kindred spirits, or you have like a shared ideology, you know? How can you go out and find people who can support you and you can build this kind of community of positive beliefs? You know, how can you do that in this modern world? Or
how can you do that? Well, I think this website is what was one way.
Yeah.
But I think also...
Good luck.
I think also definitely just talk to as many people as you can. Yeah. Be open.
Okay.
One of the best pieces of advice that I got was not to worry too much about what other people are thinking about you, because they're too worried thinking about what other people are thinking about them.
Okay.
You know, that strips away that anxiety, that strips away that idea that, oh, I need to be a certain type of person. Just be you.
Of course,
you know what
I
mean? And like even that, you started the question with how is someone going to follow in my footsteps? Yeah. I'd rather they not. I'd rather someone forge their own path. And that's what I've always tried to do with myself. Okay. Forge my own path.
Okay.
Find something else. I'm an Australian Pakistani who was a full-time poet. Nah, another one doesn't exist.
Okay.
You know, my community is supposed to be doctors and lawyers and engineers, you know what I mean? Like, at our family gatherings, all the other aunties are, like, showing off about their sons doing PhDs and such, and my mum says, oh, my son's a poet, you know what I mean? So forge your own path, you know?
Yeah, okay.
And just talk to as many people as you can. You'd be surprised how helpful and amazing and beautiful they are when you get open to this idea that we're just family and we should just be having big family reunions all of the time. Life gets better.
Okay, fantastic. And just one actually tiny question.
Go.
Thanks very much. Because for example, your video that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Imagine, which is on the bus. You know, I mean, sometimes you take your art in a very public place. With a, you know, it's specifically there. You know,
yeah.
I mean, if it's on a bus, it's public and it's kind of very on the nose that it's for everybody, maybe, or is it? Is it very visual kind of support of what you're trying to say, or?
Yeah. If I'm in the mood for it, I'll just bust out into a poem in a public place just because I feel like it. Like on the way to Glastonbury, I was just performed at Glastonbury last week or the week before, whatever it was. And on the train there, I was like, you know what, fuck it. Everyone seems to be a bit rowdy. Everyone wants to see some art.
Yeah.
I stood up and did a poem or two. And this other man stood up and we had a rap battle. It was great. It was good fun, you know what I mean? I think taking art into public spaces is essential. Like, otherwise, we're just preaching to the choir. We'll be right back.
Wow, pretty good interview, right? I enjoyed it at least.
Yep, that was really interesting.
Good. So you can catch Zohab Khan on his website. He tours extensively around the world. So no matter where you are, in Asia, Europe, or other parts of the world, Latin America, for example, North America, there's a good chance of finding him. He mentioned as well off microphone that he was in London recently doing a pilot for a TV show as well. So you might see him on your TV screens as well. And he has books. I have books by him. He gave me one as a present, dedicated to me and everything as well. So it was quite sweet. So either visually through TV shows or through this interview, or by listening to him or reading him, he's everywhere. I'd simply urge you to check him out. So that's the Zohab part of the show done. Before we finish and leave our wonderful listeners, I should say, is there anything we should say?
We'll be back next week with our last podcast before the holiday, and then we'll have a little holiday.
We will have a little holiday, and then
we'll be back in August.
Exactly. And find us on Twitter, LARPA1. That's our Twitter handle, and we'll be uploading more videos on our YouTube channel and on our website over the course of the summer as well. But we won't worry about the summer period or hiatus just yet. We, as you said, we have one more show, and we'll be talking to you then. So this is Enda from Alapra saying thank you and bye bye.
And Maria saying bye.
You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the Alapra podcast.